for those that haven't been here with us before, don't get concerned. I don't usually have as much to say when it comes to following what we've just done. So that'll be the case as today. We want to certainly thank everyone for taking part. Everyone did take part and appreciate it so much. And for those that led us in it, thank you for that as well. You noted when we read a lot of those scriptures and we looked at a lot of things, and certainly some things from Isaiah, he was not only talking about the short term, but he was talking about the long term as well, what God had planned. And if you know about Isaiah, he certainly was, in the first part of it, he gave a lot of prophecies and things that was going to happen, and certainly was warning them about their situation. But as he went into the second half, if you will, of what he had to write, he wrote about some things to comfort them and to tell them that as bad as things were going to get, because he wrote some 700 plus years before Christ, it would be before the Assyrians would take over the northern tribes and the Babylonians would take over the southern tribes, that times were going to get rough. But not to concern themselves with it, because there would be a Redeemer coming, someone who would take care of all their situations. And he wanted them to look down in the future and not be concerned about the immediate. And so a lot of times when we think about how God talks about things, as we've discussed in the morning class, certainly he wanted them to understand that their end may be soon. It may not be, but not to concern themselves, because God had a plan in mind. We, in our previous assembly, we read some verses and we sang some songs and certainly went to God in thanksgiving. And Gary thanked God for in that prayer about our being redeemed. And certainly it is a wonderful thing. The idea of being redeemed is found throughout the Bible. And the principle of being redeemed, though, is found in the law of Moses. And when we go back to the law of Moses, we'll certainly understand that. And he put things in the law of Moses to help us better understand today things that are under this new law. Those things were written aforetime for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. The word redeemed in the English language means to buy back or pay off. It means to recover by payment or other satisfaction, to exchange for money or goods. In the Greek, it just simply means to ransom something, that there is something being held, something that is not good. There's a problem. And the only solution to that problem is for something to pay for that. And that's the only solution. When we go back to Leviticus 25, we see this principle taught. And it's a principle, and we could look at other places, certainly in the law of Moses, but I thought I'd just use this for simplicity's sake today, that when we go to Leviticus 25, we find that God understood certain principles, certain things that were going to happen. And if you've read this before, he set up the year of Jubilee. He set up every 50 years that there would something take place that would allow people a situation where they didn't need to concern themselves with what they owed, if you will. So he gave those principles, and I want to just look at those, and I put the whole scripture down to just interest you in going back and reading this. But in verse 13, in this year of Jubilee, each of you shall return to his possession. He also says in 23 and 24, the land shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine. For you are strangers and sojourners with me, and in the land of your possession you shall grant redemption of the land. And he's making a principle here that if they lost something, that is, if they couldn't maybe make their payments, they couldn't meet their obligations, he said in verse 14, anything that they sold that was of value, anything that belong to them, then they would have an opportunity, as we'll look at. If they sold land, for instance, in verse 25 that we just looked at, if one of your brethren becomes poor and sold some of his possession, if his kinsman, redeemer, comes to redeem it, then he may redeem what his brother sold. Now, there's an interesting thing about this, because if you go over and you read about Ruth, you'll see this principle being played out. I'll just leave it at that. But go back sometime and read that, about this principle that the near kinsman can do it as well if there's no one else. The house, in verse 29, the man sells his house in a walled city. Then he may redeem it within a whole year after it is sold. Within a full year, he may redeem it. So there's some time given for that. And then a person as well, let's say that they couldn't make ends meet, so they give themselves to be a servant to someone else. And if one of your brethren who dwells you becomes poor and sells himself to you, you shall not compel him to serve as a slave. couldn't use him as a slave, but he could be a servant to them. But remember, they had this year of Jubilee, a time when all of this would go away. So let's look at this. There was a rebuying of this. And as we've looked at it already, certainly there, anything sold, there was an opportunity to rebuy that. The land, there was an opportunity to rebuy it. There was a way to redeem it, to buy it back, even if you had lost it. And every 50th year, that automatically went back to that person. That was God's law. Now, how well they kept this, I don't know. But the principles being taught to help us understand spiritual things, not physical things. The house, they would have that 1 year. But even with it, at some times, there would be that opportunity in the year of Jubilee to receive back the possessions. Now, the person, it's interesting in 40, but as a hired servant and a sojourner, he shall be with you and shall serve you until the year of Jubilee. Then he shall depart from you, both he and his children with him, and he shall return to his own family. He shall return to the possessions of his father, for they are my servants, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as slaves. You shall not rule over him with rigor or severity, but you shall fear your God. So he set up some standards with this, that there's an understanding that there are times when we lose something. And it needs to be gotten back. And he said, I want that to happen. But think about this. From Adam until now, everyone who has reached an age and has sinned against God has lost something. They've given themselves over to Satan. They've lost their right to be with God. They gave it up permanently. I gave it up. You did too. So how are we going to get that back? How are we going to be able to pay for that? What could I possibly, let's just say, give up that would get me back in good graces with God? Could I give up my firstborn? No. Could I give up everything that I own? No. Could I every year offer sacrifices for that sin? Would that take care of it? No. Well, what if I gave my own life? Would that do it? No. None of those things would take care of it. I could not in any way ever buy it back. I, in essence, looked for that year of Jubilee, didn't you? I looked for that time when Jesus would pay an awful, awful price for my sins. When, in essence, as we've sung from these songs today, He gave up His place, rightful place in heaven, came as a human being on this earth with sinful human beings, knew no sin Himself, did not sin Himself, and died on the cross for our sins, became the ultimate sacrifice, paying everything, the complete debt. He paid it off. His one death, bought everybody's sins and took them away forever. But there's conditions. Just like there was conditions in this, that you had to do certain things to get that back, there's conditions with us. Let's first look at who need to be redeemed. Well, those under the first covenant. See, it wasn't a matter of, okay, they were okay because they were doing things they should be doing. In Hebrews 9, he said, not so. That all they were doing was being obedient to God until the time when their sins could be bought back, if you will. And he talks about Christ and how they had every year gone in there, offered those sacrifices. They had, the high priest, had, as he says in verse 12, had entered into the Most Holy. And they had, but Christ Himself is the one that made that possible by entering that. And he goes on to talk about the blood of Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this reason, He is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death. And what did He buy out? For the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. And he talks about that testament that he left. But it's not a testament unless the testator dies. What Jesus did, it says in this, is He came once to offer sacrifice for all of those people back then and bought them out. But as we see from this, and you go on to read it, He only bought out those that had obeyed the law of Moses to the best of their ability. He didn't just buy out everybody. Everybody just wasn't automatically saved. We can see from throughout the Bible there were many lost under that. In Hebrews 10, 1 through 9, for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. Talking about law of Moses. For then would not they have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purged, then would have had no more consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices, there's a reminder of sins made again every year. Why? For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Then he goes on to talk about Christ, how he came to offer himself for the sins of all mankind for all time. Then we find in Galatians 4, in a discussion with the churches of Galatia, he wanted them to understand just how important this was, and he wanted them to understand what they had in Christ. And he talks about how Christ came, and let's just go to verse 4, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. If they didn't need to be bought out, then that means their sins had already been forgiven. But He said that's not right. They needed a payment made that would take away those sins forever so that they would never be remembered against them anymore. But not just for those, the faithful of all times. Revelation 5, Gary read to us earlier, and it's a discussion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and certainly He came and He was that Lamb. He was the Lamb of God. And it says in this that He's the one was worthy to take the book or the scroll. And it says in verse 9, they sing a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us." It's people have been redeemed. They're praising Him and saying, "To God by your blood." Now, who are these people? Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. It wasn't just Jews that had their sins bought off, if you will. It was all Gentiles that had been obedient to Him as well. It was the Abrahams, the Noahs, the Adams, all of those people, the Eves. And you can go all the way back, possibly Job and his wife, who were probably Gentiles. All of those, Christ paid for their sins. But then today, those under the law of Christ, which Cody read to us, it is Christ who redeemed us. It is Christ that was the one that took away our sins. It is Christ who bought out our sins, if you will. And the what? What did we need to be bought from? Where were we? Well, we turned ourselves basically over to Satan. We had turned ourselves over to him and said, "This is where we want to be." We were in darkness. We needed to get out of that. What caused us to be there? Our sins. If you look at Ephesians 1, it's a beautiful passage of Scripture. And the book of Ephesians talks about a relationship with Christ. And when you look at this and you read Ephesians 1, you find just how wonderful it is to have a relationship with Christ. And you start to see what Christ did for each and every one of us. In Him, we have redemption through His blood. What is it? The forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness, you recognize this language from where we just read from Galatians, the dispensation of the fullness of the time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, having predestined, I'm struggling today, according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. What did Christ do? He bought us out with His blood. That is, it wasn't just that blood that trickled down. It's talking about He gave up His life for us. He gave it up. Colossians 1 says the same thing, letting us know who this Christ is. And as Roger said earlier, certainly it talks about Him being the Creator in Colossians 1. But in verses, that's on down in 16, but in verses 13 and 14, He has delivered us from the power. What did I say we'd sold ourselves into? From the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. How is that possible? In whom we have redemption. We've been bought out through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. It is not possible on our own. It is only possible through Jesus Christ. But He didn't just do that. He didn't just take care of my sins. He made it possible that when this old body dies, that I have a new one, that I have a hope, that I have my new body has been bought, purchased, so that I can be with Him eternally. In Romans 8, He talks about this idea of looking forward to that time when we can have that. And if you noted in some of our songs, that was in the songs. If you noted, some of those people were very good to write that. They understood what it meant. I think one of those was written back in 1883, and he had mentioned this very thing. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. And not only they, but we also who are the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Wow, what a wonderful thought. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, then we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. He said we are eagerly waiting for something that we can only hope for now. We can't see this. We can't feel this. We can't know it except through hope. And what a wonderful thing that we've been bought that we might have that. And in Ephesians 1, going back to that and continuing from where we left off in verse 12, it was written there as well. It says, in Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you can see we have a part in this, you have to believe what He wrote down, and the faith has to be strong enough to do what He says. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Don't you love the language? He said, I bought you. You're mine. You belong to me. Because you believed and you did what I said, then it made it possible that I could buy you out of that. And I could give you a body eternal in the heavens. That eternal possession. You can have it forever. I've paid for it for you. Now, the point's this. It's like someone coming up to you in a physical sense and saying, Abe, any of you won't do this, by the way, it's fine. Abe, I have bought you a vacation. You are going to go to, I don't care. Name a place that's beautiful. I don't want to go to some place that's not. And you can go there for a month and everything's paid for. It's yours. You don't have to do a thing for it. All you have to do, though, you have to go to the airport on this date. You have to get on a plane on this date. And you have to fly there on this date. If you don't meet that date, you can't go. Is it still free? Is it still His grace? Is it still, has He still, that person bought that for me and paid for it? Absolutely. All I have to do is take advantage of it. And that's the same way it is with this. It's no different. We have something eternal in the heavens. It is eternal rest, as He talks about in Hebrews. So how are we redeemed? Well, it's pretty simple, isn't it? We've already read the Scriptures, haven't we? It was redeemed through a terrible price had to be paid. That every time we partake of that Lord's Supper, every time we remember that death, every time we remember that agony on the cross, every time we remember Him dying and being buried physically. Every time. Every time. It reminds us of the cost of sin. Our sins put Him on that cross. Our sins put Him in that grave. And thankfully, as was pointed out by Roger this morning, He did that for us. Willingly. And I always think of this passage of Scripture that's found in Hebrews chapter 12. Looking unto Jesus, verse 2, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The mighty Creator, as one of the Psalms says, died for the creation. So it's by His grace, we find in Romans 3. It has nothing to do with the fact that I'm deserving of this. It has nothing to do with the fact that I can just simply say to God, wow, you know, I'm somebody. You just need to do this for me. No. It's unmerited favor. Nothing I have to do to earn it. Just like that vacation that someone might pay for, it's free. Nothing was done to deserve it. In 21 of Romans 3, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Christ Jesus to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Being justified how? By buying myself back? No. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation. That is what made it possible for me to be redeemed. He became the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate price, by His blood, through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Now, why did He do that? To demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Why could He promise them forgiveness? Because He knew He was going to be sending His Son to buy back their sins. It is through His blood, as we found out in Ephesians 1:7 and in Colossians 1:14. It was by His death, through His giving of His life, through His blood, that this is possible. In the last passage, 1 Peter 1, that we'll be turning to. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. This was read earlier, I believe by Mike. 1 Peter 1, 13 through 23. I want to read it again. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as He called you who is holy, He who called you is holy, you should also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. If you call on the Father, who without partiality, this has nothing to do with that whatsoever, judges according to each one's work. Just like I said, I had to be the one that made it to that airport and get on that plane on time. He said, it'll be according to your works. If you come and if you will, and I know I use this term a lot, and so does Mike Lamb, take advantage of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's to be taken advantage of. It was already paid for you. Do it. According to each one's works, conduct yourself throughout the time of your sojourning here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And that's what it took to get rid of my sins. So, what do we find out? Who's the who? What's everyone? There is no one excluded from that. What needs to be taken care of? Well, our sins. And also, our bodies need to be bought back so that we can have those glorified bodies and be with Him eternally as a result of that. And how is that possible? Through His grace and through the blood of Jesus Christ, which was that grace extended to mankind. So, the process of being redeemed, as we found out from these passages, starts with a faith, a belief in Christ. We have to believe that He's the one that came and died on the cross for our sins. We truly believe that He was the Word. We have to believe that with all our hearts. Just as Roger said this morning, John 1 says it, who came in the likeness of men and condemned sin in the flesh. That's how He did it. We believe that He's the Redeemer, that He bought us out of sin and made us free with His blood, that is His death. And we believe that we need to obey His commands. In faith, being baptized for the remission of sins, so that we can put on Christ and thus become a Christian, that is, one who is Christ-like. Today, be redeemed from sin. Know that your body is redeemed and promised a home in heaven. And so we find in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Today is the day of salvation. We're going to stand and sing a song again. Any need to be obedient to the Word of God or need anything that from the other Christians in this assembly, please come and let us know about it. All together we stand and sing.